It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy, and this is the Galway National Football League preview show, take two, 8 months later. And who knows? Looks like we're going to have a bit of football in Tube Stadium this coming Sunday. Welcome back to our podcast, folks. I hope you enjoyed some of the shows we've been covering in terms of the club championship. I really hope you enjoyed the Tom Parsons special last week. Some great stuff from Tom Parsons. I'm delighted to say on the line, after quite a hiatus, John Gunnigan, welcome back.
Hey, Rob. Yeah, it has been quite a while, hasn't it? I think it's been a few months, I'd say, at this stage. Not quite all the way back to the Galway game that wasn't, which was, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that was just before Paddy's weekend.
Yes.
But we had a few episodes obviously after that. But yeah, it's been such a bizarre year, and it's been, if it wasn't for the club action, I don't know what we'd have done.
The club football has saved a lot of people's weekends and entertain them, be it with online coverage or on some occasions, if they were lucky, certainly with some of the earlier games, they got to go out and watch them. But I'm sure people are starved for football, delighted to see it coming back. Certainly some apprehension about the prospects of league games, teams crisscrossing across the country, all that to talk about today. But you've been locked down a week or two longer than the rest of us up there in Dublin.
Yeah, we have. And I mean, you talk about apprehension there. I mean, I would share that in relation to the resumption of inter-county activity. I'm in two minds about it. You know, I mean, like everyone looking forward to seeing some inter-county football after all these months. But at the same time, when you look at some of the fixtures that are down for this weekend, and you superimpose onto that the infection rates, particularly in the north and on the border regions, you just wonder, like, what on earth is going on, and is it really necessary to be playing matches like that? I mean, it's funny enough actually that the championship doesn't appear like the daftest thing to do, because, you know, teams are going to be knocked out, like the matches are all going to be local and teams will then be knocked out, and it'll be over quick enough. But the league just seems to be a step too far, because you have teams that will be, as you say, crisscrossing the country. You really do wonder, is it right and proper for games like this to be going ahead at this point in time, when really, you know, who profits or not from the league is kind of neither here nor there at this stage.
You've really covered a lot of key ground there that I want to get into a little bit more with you towards the end of the podcast, John. For the moment, though, we need to remind listeners of what's coming up in this week's show. Billy Joe Patton coming up next. We've got Barry Cullinan back. We had to have him back, John, didn't we?
Well, if it's a Galway game, you have to have Barry on. He's kind of part of the furniture now, isn't he?
He most certainly is. Just before we move on, a reminder, the 70-year anniversary special part 2 in the Mayo News this week. Make sure you get a copy of it, or the digital copy online if you can't get into your local stores. We'll have all the info, some great coverage, incredible stories from the first of the two in a row of that great team as we went down memory lane to mark the anniversary. So loads there in the paper this week. Now it's time for Billy Joe Patton. A quick note, a little bit of crackly interference on the line this week on the interview. Apologies about that. A bit of gremlins in the works. Get a chance to chat to Billy Joe Patton. I've heard you on the podcast, Billy Joe. You've been doing some great interviews. I've been in the background. It's good to have a chat.
Yeah, you've been listening and guiding me through some of those good chats. Hopefully we'll get an opportunity to do one again shortly, or maybe winter. But I think everyone's focus, and mine included, is turning to actual football games, and that's the way we always wanted it to be. It's great to talk about careers and things that happened in the past, or big games or big moments, but it's all about, I suppose, that the competition, you know, seeing two teams compete and shouting on the team that you want to win, and that's something that we've all missed all summer from an inter-county point of view, albeit the club championship has been very exciting and been a great prop throughout the country, not just in Mayo.
A lot of apprehension. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in our in the wider chat of the podcast. But I did want to ask you, just in general, your kind of overall feeling about National Football League, two rounds being played, and where we are right now. What's your overall mood on the whole process?
Well, I think the big fear I had, you know, take away the real fears, which is people getting sick and people, you know, bringing the virus back to vulnerable people and having, you know, life-changing consequences for people throughout the country. And that has happened. And I suppose we don't want any, you know, recreational game exacerbating that as we go through or try and get through this. But when you take that to one side, when that's the really important stuff, and I think as Carlo Ancelotti said, you know, football's the most important thing of all the non-important things. And then I think of the competition. And my big worry was about the competition, whether that be the National League or the championship coming up, is, you know, will measures that have to be put in place for, you know, social distancing and isolation impact upon the competitive fairness of the competition? And when you look at, it's been much talked about what Fermanagh have to do with so many of their players being in isolation and only being available for training, you know, the day before they play a National League game against Clare, I think. That means that Fermanagh have a disadvantage straight away. That means that somebody is gaining an advantage from them not being prepared, whether that's Clare or whether that's some other team that Fermanagh are competing with or some other team that would need Fermanagh to have a win. There's all sorts of permutations in relation to that that I think will affect the integrity of the competition. And that is more so a problem with the National League, because the first five rounds were played in normal circumstances and the last two rounds then are going to be played in this sort of kind of these freak circumstances. So I think that may impact on, I suppose, the competitive fairness of the competition as a whole. Maybe people will accuse us of just being biased Mayo men, because Mayo find themselves in a hole in terms of staying in the division. But I still think that's my big fear. And that's my big fear for the championship. Who knows, 3 weeks into a championship, if some team gets a walkover because of an outbreak. And look, none of us want to see that. None of us wants to see any team weakened significantly by fellas having to isolate as a result of the virus. And we don't want to see that, but it may have an impact on the fairness of the competitions.
Interesting, and there's so much more to cover on that. You know what I will say, and what will steer us towards the weekend game, is I've had this theory now that it could be fascinating to watch different football teams, and perhaps no team more so than Mayo, to watch how they play in a less charged up environment. So maybe it's a bit of a cliche, Billy Joe, and hit back at me if I'm saying this, but Mayo games seem to be more charged up than other games. And will it in some ways affect the players in a positive way that they're just focusing on their football?
I'm not so sure. It's something my brother David texts me during the week, that he felt that, you know, Mayo would struggle without that energy that's created in the stands. And when I was thinking about it, you know, I thought it was a fair point. And sometimes, particularly recently, the Mayo team has nearly felt like they've had to react to something to get going. You know, whether it be, you know, falling behind or being under pressure. I'm just thinking off the top of my head in games against you know, like there's probably numerous occasions I can't think of where they've needed, you know, maybe a sense of desperation and the crowd really getting riled up for them to kick into gear. And you can't rely on that. And I think you've seen it in the Premiership action, is that, you know, if you start flat, if you're not, you know, if you're not on it in terms of the concentration levels right from the off, it is, we all say it's a cliche that it's very hard to get them back. There's also, you don't have the crowd there to give you that jolt that you need when your levels are basically unacceptable. And I think that's going to be really interesting to see what teams prepare for that best. I would err that I think it's going to be more difficult for Mayo, because I think Mayo are our team, you know, maybe aside from Dublin and maybe if you include, you know, Kerry and Donegal and Tronis, who've been absolutely used of playing in front of big crowds over the last number of years, and you know, at the biggest occasions, and I don't think that they feel the pressure of the crowd on their back. I don't think it's a case that they feel any extra pressure by that. I actually think they're driven on by it. So I think it'll be a negative if you're asking me.
Interesting. Yeah. So as we go into this game, you've had a quick glance at the Galway team. We don't know what the Mayo team is as of yet. There is a huge amount of uncertainty, so it's very hard to kind of
start to really think of how the detail of this game will pan out. But I'm going to ask you to try and do that for me anyways.
Yeah. Well, look, I think in terms of Galway, lots of people over the last couple of weeks have been thinking, you know, Galway have a really, if there's going to be anyone that's going to, you know, get in ahead of Dublin, and maybe that's not Kerry, that people think it's Galway. And I can see the logic. When you have a couple of outstanding forwards and physically big and strong forwards, and your defenders probably are more suited to playing in the slower conditions, with no, I don't mean that disrespectfully, but it's just a fact as I see it, that I think that the Galway defenders are probably more suited to slower conditions as opposed to September rock hard pitch at Crow Park and no breeze. And did they see them as an opportunity, you know, with Port Joyce and with that sort of positivity and that leadership that he will bring, that they have a real opportunity? And I still think that's the case. But then when you look at the team again for Mayo in the league, and these could be issues that could be all rectified by the time champs come around. But so if you have your players available to you, you're going to play them. So I think it's a big blow to Galway's short term and long term, and maybe, you know, when, you know, Shane Walsh isn't playing and Comer isn't playing, because they're going to be absolutely critical to what Galway want to do. Now, maybe this is all part of the plan. Maybe they're coming back from little knocks. Maybe they'll get 20 minutes at the game at some stage. Galway aren't worried about really the outcome of the game. And it'll, you know, it'll help them get back into match fitness. But if I was a Galway supporter, I think that's what I'd be worried about. Because, you know, Comer has missed a lot of football with that, I think it was an ankle injury. And I've been saying this all along, the team that's going to perform best in this kind of knockout championship is the team that is settled, that has developed all those relationships within the team, that understands exactly what they're being asked to do because they have had so little preparation time. And maybe it'll be an advantage to the experienced teams with experienced managers, in terms of players knowing exactly what their manager is asking them to do, and the manager knowing exactly what his players are capable of doing. And that's why it may be an advantage for maybe a team like Mayo, if you want to look at it positively, in that a lot of those players know exactly what James Horn requires of them. And yeah, obviously somebody like Mickey Hart and Tyrone, it's the same way. And it just might make it that bit more difficult for Desi Farrell and Paul Joyce.
Joe, we have lots of weeks now to chat, so I'm kind of nearly going to finish on this question. There's an element to sport, and I think it comes up quite a lot in the GA, where you have the fixture against a team that you know you have a bigger fixture down the line possibly.
Yes.
You must have experienced that multiple times yourself in your career. How do you approach those games?
Look, it's difficult. It's difficult. I in many ways, I always looked at whether you played May Galway. If you take it totally from a Mayo point of view, whether you played Galway, you knew you were going to play them three times in the next 6 weeks. You looked at each game in isolation because it's a derby, because there's that much at stake, never mind what competition you're playing in. What is down the road? You just look at that key game. And I think from Mayo's point of view, it's easier for them to prepare for it because they know they need the points in an Allianz Leagues setting. They know that their record has to improve against Galway if they're going to achieve the things they want to achieve in Connacht and beyond. So I think it's easy for them to prepare. Galway might be a bit more difficult because they have had the upper hand. They are not under pressure now. And the worry for them, or the danger for them, is that they're not, you know, fully at it this weekend. And that gives Mayo confidence for whatever might happen 3, 4, 5 weeks down the road.
Ah, great stuff from Billy Joe Padden, straight from one Mayo legend to one Galway legend, and podcast regular Barry Cullinan. So about 8 months ago, give or take, Barry Cullinan, you and I met to preview this Galway match, and here we are previewing it again in stranger times than we could ever imagine.
Yeah, I missed you, lads. Miss yourself, Rob, and John, and all the Mayo supporters. It was tough times for everyone, but no, look, on a more serious note, I think, you know, what an 8 months it has been, and we're still in the throes of the uncertainty, and I think, you know, just as GA supporters, are we're really, really lucky to have the GAA to really, to occupy our thoughts and our weekends, hopefully, on what could be, you know, a fairly troublesome winter ahead. But we are where we are, to coin that terrible phrase, and we just have to look forward with a bit of hope, I guess.
Yeah, there's definitely anticipation brewing, you know, a lot of question marks over whether there was going to be football or if it was going to be doable. Looks like there is going to be now. And I think, leaving everything else aside, everyone's excited by that at the very least. I presume it's the same in Galway. It's not even, it's nothing like it was before all of this happened. It's more just the thought of seeing Galway playing Mayo this weekend. It's good for the soul, isn't it?
That's brilliant for the soul, especially, you know, when there's an excitement around, you know, Galway football. I saw an article, I think today, probably following the Jim McGuinness thing in relation to Galway football, and that there's a real excitement around Galway football, and for Galway football supporter, that's brilliant. We're long enough maybe facing a lot of criticism maybe in terms of our style of play, or people mightn't shown as much of an interest in us as we would hope to have, and probably looking down the road with a little bit of jealousy in terms of where Mayo football was and the stage that they have been on for the last 5, 6, 7, 10 years. You know, and we just wanted to get back there, and hopefully with the group of players that we have that have been worked on so hard by Kevin Walsh over the last few years, that Pádraig Joyce has now inherited, you know, and some real talent. So, you know, hopefully we will find ourselves in the latter stages of championship football. And, you know, and I think that's why this game on Sunday is stirring such interest.
So I've added up and I've watched all the footage that's happened in the last 8 months to do research for this interview. And what I've got is about 46 seconds of a Galway training session where two lads dropped the ball and Jim McGuinness looked pumped up. That is a good summary?
Yeah, glad to see that things haven't changed for me. I didn't feel as unskillful as sometimes I feel I was in my playing day when I saw, I think Kieran Malloy might have been one of them to drop it, but look, they were going at a ferocious pace. But I think, look, we have to take a look at like club form maybe in Galway over the last couple of months, seeing where all those players are. But in terms of where Galway are or where Mayo are, in terms of preparedness for what is a very important National League game, we basically haven't a clue, and probably the majority of this conversation is going to be us trying to come up with some kind of rationale as why I think Galway are going to win and you think Mayo are going to win.
Oh, well, now we don't always fall into such obvious camps, but yes, possibly. Come here, how do you feel about the effects of the break on both teams, and do you think it's going to disrupt some of the momentum that Pádraig Joyce had built back in March?
I think if you were to look at it at a macro level, I think in terms of Galway Mayo, the break, you know, no one wanted it. It's not a situation we anticipated, or obviously if we had our choice, we would be, you know, we would have our championship over at this stage. But I think, it suited Mayo a little bit better. They seemed to have, you know, a lot of little injuries that needed to be cleared up that might have needed a little bit more time than what they would have got into a run into a championship back May, June, July. Galway were in form. They had, you know, an exciting campaign. They had an exciting start to the campaign, and then they had two big games of Mayo and Dublin coming in Pearse Stadium. You know, there was a momentum behind Galway. There was an excitement back in Galway football. They were playing a nice style, a nice brand. So, you know, everything typical as a good supporting mindset. It was all roads to lead to Croke Park in September. So the break probably, you know, came at a wrong time for Galway. But look, in terms of the grander scheme of things, in what has happened over that 8 months, you know, it doesn't really matter. But in terms of form, look, we have no idea. You know, our top players have been playing well. You know, Shane Walsh had been excellent for Kilcarran Clonburn, put up huge scores, although beaten in the county final. You know, so time, Sunday will tell a lot, but I don't have any huge fears that it might take all a while to get going. They're young and you know, they're enthusiastic, they've loads of pace, so I think they're all, you know, they're a good start and a good backbone to, you know, to any team looking for a bit of form.
Jim McGuinness, I mean, what's your thoughts on this?
Look, we don't, like, we obviously haven't a clue what Jim McGuinness's role in it. I know Pádraig had a press morning this morning, and he spoke that, you know, at the moment it was a one-off session, and from what I understand, it was more along a sports psychology side of the session rather than anything too tactical. Now, I know maybe the video clip that's doing the rounds showed him in the middle of a drill, but I think that possibly might have had more to do with trying to develop a mindset that he has spoken about in his autobiography about, you know, doing everything at 100 miles an hour. And I think, you know, if that video clip played on, it would have showed them back doing some sports psych sessions, albeit out in the pitch, because obviously he can't do anything indoors at the moment. So in terms of that aspect, he's highly qualified. We know the work he has done in that respect in terms of in the professional game, and obviously what he did with Donegal. So you have a relationship like Pádraig has with Jim McGuinness, or you know, that history with him, then it would be absolutely madness not to try and exploit that. If the possibility, and in saying that, Jim McGuinness will have to be a good fit for Galway football and the Galway football players and the Galway football management. There would be nothing to suggest that he wouldn't be. But we don't know. We don't know that. I don't know Jim McGuinness. I don't know what his characteristics are like. But as long as it was a good fit and it didn't disrupt, then, like, it's a no-brainer, and if the opportunity arose to involve them a little bit more in their preparation, then, you know, it's an absolute given that you would take it.
All right, so there's no question that, you know, any group of footballers standing in front of Jim McGuinness are going to learn something. Add in the fact that his philosophy is shared by Pádraig Joyce will only make that group of players kind of tune in that little bit more. But is there a percentage of it that's a bit of a PR stunt as well?
Oh Jesus, that's a very loaded question, Rob.
I'm just saying, is there not a small percentage of this is what Galway need to get out there just to set a new kind of tone around this group? This is a group of players who trudged off the field down in Limerick last year and didn't look like they were going in the right direction after some great progress under Kevin Walsh, as you pointed out. So, you know, I'm just wondering.
Yeah,
from a Mayo News football podcast point of view.
a PR stunt. I don't think Pádraig can really control, you know, what some fella does that puts a ladder up behind the goal in Tuam Stadium, takes out his phone. Pádraig certainly wouldn't have been highlighting the fact that Jim was in if that video didn't break yesterday evening. I would say Pádraig could probably see it as a positive in that, you know, it shows for his players, it shows exactly the route and the direction they want to go, and they're bringing a guy in that has done it at the top level, just like Pádraig has done it at the top level. And believe me, you know, Pádraig Joyce will not need any help in instilling a level of confidence into these Galway footballers, that when Galway footballers with the level of ability that they have really, really go at something, he will have them believing, going to bed at night time, waking up in the morning, thinking that they are going to win in All Ireland. And that's not in an arrogant way. It's what the teams at the top level have to think. I guarantee you, the mate James Horan will be doing the same. Desi Farrell will be doing the same at Dublin, Peter Keane and Kerry, that they will be trying to instill a belief in his players that they're going to win the All-Ireland. And there's absolutely no doubt that that's what Pádraig is doing, and there's no doubt that he won't need any help in doing that. But in saying that, what he might like some help in is because there's so many people involved that he would like, you know, having someone like Jim McGuinness around the place that would have that positive attitude, positive mentality is always going to be a bonus. But I don't think Pádraig is into PR stunts, and I know the tone of what you meant it in, but no, I think whatever he's doing it for, you know, the best of intentions for every single one of his players, and it's not just to gain a little bit of notoriety for Galway football.
The other key question I wanted to ask you, and as we bring this to a conclusion, is, you know, this is one you probably thought about quite a lot, is how important is the result at the weekend? I mean, obviously, from a Mayo perspective, it's more important. Relegation, quite a big deal. Galway wants to relegate them, quite a headline as well. Beyond that, are you looking at this as quite a significant encounter with a view towards the championship?
I'd be 100% honest with you. You telling me that if we beat you, relegates Mayo, that's the first time I've thought about that. I realised that since I've started thinking about this game. So I don't think that's going to feature in their thoughts. But I do think it's an important game. Specifically with the championship just around the corner, of the nature of the championship being knockout, you know, it can't be a situation where, you know, you go, right, well, we have a big game at some stage, Connacht semi-final, Connacht final, they're all big games. You know, we play Mayo, okay, we might get better than that, but you might have a couple of games in the back door to build to a Super 8. You have to hit the ground running in this championship. And I think Galway Mayo, Galway Dublin, they're going to be really, really important games. And I think Sunday's game is a really, really important game for both teams. And, you know, purely from a Galway perspective and a Galway point of view, if we were to get a really good performance, you know, with a good win on Sunday, and I'm not saying we will, but I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking, if that was to happen, then the benefit that can bring to that Galway panel far outweighs anything that Jim McGuinness can say to them the previous Sunday. And I think it would give them such a boost in confidence if your top players were to find a bit of form. You couldn't buy that level of preparation going into the first round of the championship. If they can back it up with a better performance against Dublin, then, you know, Pádraig Joyce will be saying, this is exactly where I want these Galway lads. And the same for James Horan. Like, yeah, getting relegated, I don't think it's going to be a massive part of his thought process. All he will be worried about is getting the performance out of his players on Sunday in Tuam. And he will also feel that no matter what way the league ends up for Mayo, that if he can go to Tuam, get a performance, get a win, sets him up really, really well going into a championship. And, you know, I can guarantee, I know there won't be any crowd at it, which is a huge pity, but Sunday, you know, there'll be no quarter asked or given on Sunday, and it will be as close to as it possibly can be, considering it's their first inter-county game for quite a while, but it'll be as close as it possibly can be to real championship action, and they will be trying to build very quickly going into a kind of championship.
There you have it. Great stuff from Barry Cullinan. They're all getting ready for a huge game before myself and John set the scene for the weekend and maybe talk about some of the challenges that could be presenting themselves. Who knows, by the time this podcast comes to air and our chat could well have been overtaken by the news that forever overtakes us these days. Longford are looking to get a postponement for their trip to Derry, for example. We'll talk a bit more about some of those elements in a wee while. But for the moment, we just wanted to introduce one other interview that I caught up with County Board Chairman Lee Moffat for our first chat for quite some time, straight after the county final, actually, and a great season that it was in terms of the club campaign to get it all off without any hitches. Really proud the Mayo County Board for that, and all the clubs have done a superb job during the summer months right up until that county final day. So here was Lee Moffat a couple of weeks ago just talking about the scene and the challenges that are facing Mayo GAA at the moment. Here And Lee Moffat has joined us for a quick chat. Welcome back to the podcast. Last time you were on it was a very different landscape, Liam. What a change. 8 months into your tenure. And as I was saying to you, just as I walked in here, you ripped up all those KPIs that you had at Christmas.
Yeah, Rob, it's a different world. I don't think anybody's seen what was going to happen to society or to the GAA for that matter. And it's certainly a changed world.
I have to say, to start with, all going well, this final plays out nicely today. It's an achievement from each and every county board in the country to get the club championships off as they have. And I suppose each and every club county board will be proud of that.
Yeah, it's a great testimony to the GAA across the country that county boards in each county have carried out their county championships, which have been brilliant. I suppose from our point of view, we're very, very grateful for all of the efforts that have gone in, particularly in each individual club, to deal with the challenge of the pandemic. And from a county board perspective, going through to the executive, then going through the specific committee, such as the CCC, which is responsible for organising fixtures in Mayo GAA. And people, you know, it's been said before, it'll be said again, like all those people deserve tremendous credit, because not only are we dealing with the demands of a pandemic and the effects it's had on our health, the effects it's had on our game schedule, and the effects it's had on our finances, to get a club championship carried out was a success, but the quality of it was great. Mm. The games were tremendous. There was so many good games, and it culminated this weekend. You know, the finals that were on last night were fantastic. The games were brilliant. The intensity of the matches. The minor final was on this morning, was excellent again. Some brilliant attack in football. And hopefully now the senior final will be, like the rest of the games this summer, a good one.
Yeah, in a way it's put the focus back on football. You know, obviously supporters, key part of the game, money, vital to keep the game alive. But it's the football that's actually, first and foremost, has lived on through this troubling time.
Yeah, and I think that the football, there's many aspects of the GAA which provide a lot of social capital to the country, where clubs dug in and helped out the community. And then similarly, we've got another shot in the arm boost with the games that were carried out. And, you know, everyone loves watching the games, whether it's hurling or football. I was at the Hurling Club final last weekend. It was a great event as well. And it does give that locality a boost when the game is on. It does give that region a boost. And it gives everyone a focus, a positive focus, and particularly in a challenging period for everyone's health, physically and mentally. I think that the fact of having games going ahead is a real bonus.
Really interested, our listeners will be in what the behind the scenes world is like preparing for an intercounty championship. How much can you tell us to begin with? How excited are you about it? And what are we looking at from a county board chairman point of view of preparing for the championship that's to come?
Well, there's the three main areas that have been affected by COVID are the same as the club seasons. You know, your health risks to your players and your backroom teams, the game schedule itself, which, as you know, the season is far more condensed now and a different time of the year traditionally for the provincial All-Ireland series. And then of course there's the financial aspect to it, because as you know, the business model of most field sports is games related, that the supporter comes in through the gate and it generates revenue to support your teams and your sport. That business model has completely changed, and Mayo, like every other GA unit and every other field sport, whether it's soccer, rugby, you know, Aussie rules, that's a well documented that they've struggled too. They've all been affected. We've all been affected. And it's just about looking at, okay, what is the baseline position right now? What do we need to keep our players safe, to keep our coaches safe, to support those players and coaches best you can, to deliver a game schedule that our supporters can see? And let's find answers to bridge that gap.
What about those kind of, I've heard across the country, difficult conversations that county boards have to have with their management teams about what's available? How are you finding those conversations? Have you had some with your own Mayo management team?
Well, our three intercounty managers have been great to deal with from day one. When COVID happened, they took a very mature approach. They took the approach of health is number one. Mm. And there's been communications with all the managers over different times of the year, particularly of late when it became apparent that intercounty championship is going to resume. And discussions are being had, but it's very much in a collaborative process and working together. And I'm very grateful for the attitude of our three intercounty managers. They've been really good to work with, very open, see the bigger picture, and just been working together. And, you know, you'd hope to get as many right answers as you can. There'll obviously be bits and pieces of compromises, but that's all what goes on in collaboration.
Do you find you're saying no more than yes in this job?
No. No, I don't. I mean, the way I look at things is that I just look at the facts. I don't personalize things. You know, I just look at the facts. And if the answer is yes, based on the data in front of me, have I made an informed decision? The answer is yes. If the answer is no, it's the same process. It's based on an informed decision. I don't make decisions based on who you are, where you're from. That I just don't roll like that, as people know. And like, so every aspect of the job, you are making informed decisions based on the best information to hand for the best of Mayo GAA.
Is COVID going to affect Mayo's chances of winning an All-Ireland?
Absolutely not. I mean, Mayo has as much a chance as everybody else. Yeah. You know, every Mayo has, our players have been tremendous over the last couple of years. I thought they were tremendous early on the year as well. A couple of results didn't go their way, but they certainly didn't lack endeavour and they didn't lack heart. And I know that they'll give it everything that they can. And I know there are backroom teams as well. So to say, is COVID going to affect your chances? I don't think so, because I think it's, you know, it's the same field for everyone. Like, everyone's affected by COVID in terms of how the schedule, how the normal schedule has changed. And certainly, you know, every team is also kind of, is aware of the risks that COVID plays in terms of health risks. So to say that one team could be affected by COVID more than others, I just don't see the evidence for that. I think it's a relatively level playing field per se in the context of how COVID affects a team's chances.
There we go. We've got ourselves ready for the weekend, John. At the top of this podcast, we did kind of kick around the idea that we both had our certain apprehensions. I know there'll be people out there, and we've encountered them ourselves, who feel like are here, they should be letting 5,000 people into these games, and it's outdoors, and there's far too much talk about this COVID crack. We may as well just tell listeners, neither of us subscribe to such, I would go as far as to say, nonsense, because we do need to pay attention. This is quite a difficult time. And it's causing quite a conundrum, really, because we're going to both, you and I, in our own ways, me at the game, you up in Dublin, enjoy watching our football team on the field again and watching the game of football played. I've enjoyed watching Connacht. And when it's on, I'm going to just immerse myself in it and enjoy it for what it is. And we know there's a lot of really, really careful thinking going behind how they set things up in all these sporting events. But at the same time, there are risks being taken and there are philosophical questions as to whether these risks are necessary.
Yeah, I mean, that's it for sure. I mean, if you look at the infection levels now, they're as high as they were at the stage back in April, I suppose it would have been, when we were all restricted to within 2 kilometres of our houses. So, in some ways, it's a wonder that the games are going ahead at all. And I think that the notion of having any supporters at matches now is just preposterous. I think, you know, there's absolutely no way you could countenance to it. I mean, I do think that there is a wider question as to whether or not the games should be going ahead at all, but clearly they are. The announcement today about the Moy Cullen lads, you know, obviously won't help the mood either, you know, because that shows how close the COVID outbreaks are, and I think we will see repeated instances over the coming weeks. But it's funny though, as I was saying earlier on, it's in a weird kind of way the Championship is a bit easier to manage because it is going to be more local than the league games. I think there are major question marks over the coming 2 weekends, and I think it's fingers crossed from everyone's point of view that nothing occurs in relation to a COVID outbreak as a result of any of those games.
We saw Alan Dillon in the Mayo News this week, a good piece with Ger Flanagan, just talking about some of his concerns, and in fact highlighting the fact that, you know, he was concerned about testing. The GAA in September, he said, had looked for procurement for rapid testing for inter-county teams to be sent to tender, but that has not received an update, he had said at this point in time. Plenty of reasons to suggest that from what we can see, there isn't a kind of weekly testing going on with squads that might be happening, that we know is happening in the 4 professional rugby teams. Obviously, a hell of a lot easier to organise than 32 county football teams. Obviously, professional rugby players too are going to work every day in the rugby environment. Whether or not you can call that a complete and impenetrable bubble is a whole other story, because they go home to their lives. But at the same time, that's the challenge that the GAA are facing. Really good interview from friend of the podcast, Colm Keyes, with John Heslin from Westmeath this week as well. And to paraphrase some of John Heslin's points, you know, he was pointing out his girlfriend's a nurse. She interacts obviously in terms of in her workplace with potential cases, and his own concerns too are coming from what I would term, he didn't term it this, but it's extreme non-social distancing sport, obviously, to his family and stuff, and the protection and the safety measures he's going to have to take as well. So there's a lot of GAA players all over the country, I'm sure, scratching their head. You know, I think John is a teacher as well. So, you know, they have their own concerns in terms of work-life balance. Look, I know there'll be people listening, and I know there are people within the GA media fraternity who think, get on with it. Come on, guys, this is what we need. People need it for their mindset. There's a big loan gone to the GA, John, to allow for this championship to take place. There are people out there who would suggest that maybe having postponed the championship, postponing intercounty football, putting that money into sport for younger people for the winter months might have been a better use of the money.
Yeah, there is a good argument to that effect, because I think when you look at when these matches were scheduled, it was several months ago when the curve had been well and truly flattened and when the rates of infection were absolutely minuscule. So I think there was an expectation. And even if you go right back to when matches were first postponed, I think it was John Kiley, the Limerick hurling manager, was saying, you know, come the back end of the year when all this is behind us, you know, that's when we really need sport. And I think that was the expectation, was that we could afford to postpone everything and play it at the back end of the year post-COVID. The problem is we're not post-COVID and we're not anywhere near that. And, you know, it could be 12 to 18 months before we're in the situation that we had thought we might be in now. So I think that's the issue. I mean, if you look at in the spring, all live sport was cancelled because it was an emergency situation and we had to get on top of that first and foremost. I mean, I think there is an acceptance that sport of some shape has to continue, but it won't be like normal, that's for sure.
Okay, we've tried this week with Billy Joe Padden and Barry Cullinan to just set the scene. And now, as we said, we left this to the end in case you think we're being killjoys, but we're not, because we're just saying, both of us wanted to just have a conversation about this so we don't spend the entire next 6 weeks of podcast talking about this. Once this starts, that's for the medical experts, that's for the GA's many COVID-19 experts and members of the different committees to concern themselves with us, which we can tell our listeners to rest assured that we'll just focus on the football, probably from the comfort of our own chairs. Although, as I said, I've got access to this weekend's game. Every game I get into, I feel it's a privilege and an honour to watch. But by and large, we're going to enjoy the football for what it is and keep our fingers crossed that no problems come from this. And if they don't, well, fantastic. Well done, everyone.
Yeah, and the great thing is people will be able to see their teams regardless of whether or not they go to the games, because if you look, there's a huge expansion of live matches. You have, you know, TG Carr are showing matches this weekend. RTE are going to be showing live games. Sky are putting their games on the non-premium channel, if you like, the Sky Sports Mix channel that's available both to their own people using their own platform and customers on Virgin Media as well. So I think it's about 900,000 households that's going to be available too. And then you have a whole pile of streaming stuff, including for the first time, GAA Go will be available to subscribers in the UK and Ireland. And I mean, that's one of the things that has come out of this pandemic, like, you know, working from home for an awful lot of people and the death of physical money. It's the streaming of GA games. And while there have been some teething troubles in that regard, not, you know, we know well of the issues that happened within Mayo, but they happened in several other counties as well. But at the same time, streaming of club and now intercounty games, I think it's going to become hardwired into the match day experience from now on. So while, you know, most of us won't be able to get to these games, a lot of us don't want to go to the games given the dangers and all the rest, that doesn't mean that people are going to be shut out from the action.
No, and I think the efforts being made to ensure that sport continues is really important. Obviously, spending that extra little bit of money at the elite level, it's what inspires young people to play the sport. Mm-hmm. There's loads of balancing arguments that need to be made, but I think on just cold October nights and with the view towards what's to come, there is a certain amount, as we said off the top, of apprehension around what's to come. Hopefully, by the time you listen to this, news hasn't gone in any sort of spiral direction that makes this this irrelevant, this conversation. But for the foreseeable future, go on.
Yeah, but it will make Mayo games very different as well, you'd have to say, because I think was it I think it was Alan Dillon that said it in his piece in the Mayo News that, you know, Mayo matches always, like, he always loved playing in them because there's a lot of big raucous Mayo crowds. And, you know, a Mayo Galway game, how many would be at that? At least 10,000, possibly 12,000, 13,000. Morris Deegan is the ref. Can you imagine the amount of barracking that he would have got for every time he blew his whistle? you know, and I it just brings you back to what Ger Flanagan said on the podcast. You know, as a player, he was saying that, you know, when referee made decisions and there's nobody there and there's nobody roaring from the sideline, then things just moved on. Like the ref's decisions were accepted and you went on to the next play. So I think that would be a very different experience in a Mayo game. So I'm looking forward to seeing how what impact that has. And maybe Morris Deegan might have a decent match.
Oh, John Morris, yeah. We got to get past this, John. I just for the thing about
it. In the 2016 replay, Rob. No way.
We had our chances to win that game. I'm not having it. Listen, we may have wandered off into different topics, but we finished on a topic that I think everyone can feel comfortable is a Mayo football topic, moaning about referees. All right, that's it for now. John, we'll catch up over the next couple of weeks and hopefully there's a bit of a flow of games. Myself and Ger are going to the game. I presume will you be upstairs or big TV downstairs if you have a plan? Is Joe going to join you?
We'll be on one of them anyway. We're reconfiguring our multimedia experience here in the house, but I don't think we'll have the job fully done by the weekend. So we could be downstairs looing at the telly down in
Look, just get it ready for Championship, Leitrim. That's the target. That's it from us, folks. Thanks for listening and enjoy the weekend wherever you're watching all over the world. Don't worry, there'll be a podcast where Mayo footballer playing matches. We're making podcasts.